Yet another controversial Bush administration judicial nomination seems to be headed for trouble. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony yesterday from California Supreme Court Justice Janice Rogers Brown. She's been nominated for a seat on the Federal Appeals Court here in Washington. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg attended the hearing.
Bizarre is the only word to describe yesterday's hearing. Republicans began the session by putting in front of the hearing room a blown-up cartoon that lumped Justice Brown, who's African-American, with U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and other black GOP stars from Colin Powell to Condoleezza Rice. Republicans condemned the cartoon, which was posted on an internet site, as outrageous. So did the Democrats. So why was it there? A veiled explanation came from committee chairman Orrin Hatch.
She is a conservative African-American woman, and for some, that alone disqualifies her nomination to the D.C. Circuit, widely considered a stepping stone to the United States Supreme Court.
Janice Rogers Brown is, in fact, something of a dream judicial candidate for President Bush, at least on paper. The daughter of sharecroppers, raised in the segregated South, she moved to California with her family and, as a single mother, worked her way through law school. But in her 10 years on the bench, she's also been a lightning rod for controversy. Nominated to the state Supreme Court by a Republican governor, she got the job despite being found unqualified by the state Judicial Evaluation Committee and the state bar. Once on the court, she was often the lone dissenter, though she sat with six other Republican appointees and only one Democratic appointee. And when Brown was named to the Federal Appeals Court, the American Bar Association gave her its lowest passing grade, a split qualified-unqualified rating. During her judicial tenure, Brown has been an outspoken conservative, and her often flamboyantly conservative speeches came back to haunt her yesterday. In one, for instance, she called the New Deal the triumph of the socialist revolution, while in others she said government was responsible for, quote, families under siege, war in the streets, the unapologetic expropriation of property, and the triumph of deceit. At yesterday's hearing, California Democrat Dianne Feinstein called Brown's speeches intemperate. She said that after a lengthy meeting with Brown, she was not reassured. Brown responded this way.
Well, I may speak in a very straightforward way. I'm very candid, and sometimes I'm passionately devoted to the ideals on which I think this country is founded.
Then you would say that the quote which I read to you yesterday, and I'll just read one part today, on government, is it the result of government is a debased, debauched culture which finds moral depravity entertaining and virtue contemptible? You really believe that?
I'm referring there to the unintended consequences of some things that government does.
Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy picked up on Feinstein's theme, noting, for example, that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has cut work-related deaths in half.
How in the world can anyone whose rights are being represented and protected by these organizations have any confidence with how you'll rule when you've taken these positions which have such a despicable attitude towards what government and government institutions can do?
Senator, I think they can have absolute confidence. I don't hate government. I am part of government. I have been a public servant for 99% of my professional career. So I can implement the law.
Questioned about the substance of some of her rulings, particularly by Republican Arlen Specter, Brown seemed at times confused. Here, for example, is an exchange about the majority opinion she wrote involving California's anti-affirmative action referendum known as Proposition 209. Isn't it true, asked Senator Specter, that the 14th Amendment guarantee of equal protection of the law was enacted with the purpose of curbing state power in some cases involving race?
Well, doesn't the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution mean that the equal protection of the 14th Amendment trumps California Proposition 209?
Doesn't the Supremacy Clause mean that?
Yes.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has not said that.
Well, the state cannot have a constitutional provision which conflicts with a U.S. constitutional provision, can it?
This is not an issue that I have looked at in detail.
Questioned by other senators about a speech she gave in 1999, arguing that the Bill of Rights should not be applied to the states, Brown waffled, finally saying that she was not sure she'd been right. Still, she said, in her view, the First Amendment guarantee of free speech, press, and barring government establishment of religion, the First Amendment was not meant to apply to state governments and should not be binding on the states.
I think it still remains anomalous to incorporate the First Amendment.
Anomalous, presumably, because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say states may make no laws. Brown's view, however, stands in stark contrast to the Supreme Court's decisions since 1925, and it is such views that will make her confirmation problematic. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.